In the moment I repent, God will use me even as He was using me before, and He doesn't hold it against me anymore because of the grace and the love and the mercies of God, and because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in cleansing my sins in my life. That's what it's all about. The grace of God given to each one of us here tonight.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. When Raul first surrendered his life to Jesus, he carried a lot of guilt for his past. But gradually, he learned God's grace was greater than his sin, and he could trust the saving power of Christ's love. For a free DVD of Raul's reassuring story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We are glad you've joined us today for our continuing series celebrating the Lord's great mercy and grace. Today, Raul will explore the stories of four imperfect women who are forever changed by God's perfect love. If you question whether you can ever be rescued from your sin, keep listening to see that the Lord doesn't hold grudges, and He's promised to forgive you if you truly repent. Here's Raul Reese now in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 with the lesson, God's Grace Offered.
Let's begin by reading the genealogies and see what we learn from them tonight as we look at the grace of God offered to every person. Beginning with verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz begot Obadiah by Ruth, and Obadiah begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, notice, the king, and David, the king, begot Solomon, and by her, who has been the wife of Uriah, which her name is Bathsheba, Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa, and Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Jeroboam, and Jeroboam begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. And Hezekiah begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah, and Josiah begot Jeconiah. And his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiduad, and Abiduad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eliezer, and Eliezer begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David into the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon into the Messiah are 14 generations. Now, what is he doing? He's telling you the tree line of the Messiah coming into the world, going back all the way back to Abraham, and then coming up to Joseph and to Jesus Christ himself. Now, these three names, Abraham, David, and Christ, are referred to by Matthew both here at the beginning of the book, why? Of the genealogy, and also at the end. Because he wants you to understand that these are the 14 generations times three where Jesus Christ came through. This genealogy becomes remarkable for several reasons for us. Number one, it contains the name of four women. Oriental, Mid-Eastern genealogists rarely would ever give any woman's name. Imagine that. And number two, all four women had questionable backgrounds. We're going to see that tonight. You're going to blow your mind in their backgrounds. You would think, why would God choose these women? Why wouldn't he choose better women than these? Because of his grace. Because of his love. Because of his mercy. He chose you. He chose me. We're not any different than Tamar. And then Ruth and Rahab and Beersheba. Notice that. So when we look at the first one, let's look at her. There in verse 3. Her name is Tamar. And what was she? But here it goes. She was an ex-prostitute. Why would God use and choose a prostitute? She's the one that seduced, remember, Judah in Genesis 38. She dressed up as a prostitute and seduced him, her father-in-law, and she went to bed with him. And then he tried to play the righteous one. Remember? You have to read it in chapter 38. Let me read it to you. In verse 13 of Genesis 38, it says, "And it was said that Tamar, your father-in-law, is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. And so she took off her widow's garment." Her husband had died, so she was mourning. "And she took off her mourning garment and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown and that she was not given to him as a wife." And the reason she's doing this is because she, according to the Jewish law, when a brother would die, if you had five brothers, then your wife would choose a second brother. And if he died, then the third. And it would go down the line. Why? And the whole reason is to keep it in the family and to reproduce the family name. You see? That's why they did it. "For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given to him as wife. So when Judah saw her, he thought she was a whore because she had covered her face." The prostitute in that culture would wear a veil. You see? And that's how they were identified. "And so then he turned to her." Notice, he solicited her. "And he turned to her by the way and said, 'Please, let me come in to you sexually.' For he did not know that it was his daughter-in-law." Imagine that. "And so she said, 'What will you give me that you may come in to me?'" Can you imagine, man? I mean, it's his daughter-in-law and he doesn't even know because she's all covered up. And then at the same time, here's God working through this whole thing. Verse 17. "And he said, 'I will send a young goat from the flock.' And so she said, 'Will you give me a pledge until you send it?'" I don't trust you. If you're going to lay with me, you got to give me something. And he says, "Okay, what about if I give you my ring?" Look what he says. "And then he said, 'What pledge shall I give you?' So she said, 'Why don't you give me your signet or cord and your staff that is in your hand?' And then he gave him to her and went into her, and she conceived by him." The first time, imagine that. She conceived, immediately she got pregnant. And he was an old man. And here she gets pregnant by her own father-in-law now. Notice what he says. As she not only conceives now, but then again, verse 19. "And so she got up, she went away, and she laid aside her veil and put on a garment of her widowhood. And then Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he couldn't find her." He came back to get his stuff and she's gone. She's nowhere to be found. And then he asked the man of that place, "Hey, you guys, where is the prostitute who was openly by the roadside yesterday here?" And they said, "There is no prostitute in this place." You're imagining things, my friend. There are no prostitutes here. "And so he returned to Judah and said, 'Hey, I cannot find her.' And also, the men of that place said that there's no whore in this place. And then Judah said, now here is Judah. Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I send this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months later that Judah was told, saying, hey, guess what? Tamar, your daughter-in-law, is played the whore. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. And Judah said, bring her out here so that we can burn her. Uh-oh, Judah. Be careful. Imagine that. I mean, how many times in the scripture we see it where a lot of times we're like the Pharisees and we're judging and misjudging people. And it's like Jesus says, hey, when you point your finger, you got three coming back at yourself. Think about it. Here she's walking around with child and she's saying, man, who did that to you? I can't believe you could do such a thing. Judah, it's you, baby. Look at this. Here it is. And when she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law saying, and here's where he exposes him, by the men to whom these belong. Imagine, here's his staff. He said, uh-oh. Notice this. By the men to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet, the cord, and the staff. And so Judah acknowledged them and said, uh-oh, she has been more righteous than I because I did not give her to Shelah, my son, and he never knew her again. Now she is cursed. Imagine that. Notice what Jesus is choosing. Pretty heavy. And now it came to pass at the time of giving of birth that, behold, twins were in her womb, two of them. And so it was that when she was giving birth, that one put out his hand, and the midwife took the scarlet thread and bound it so they don't confuse him to see who comes out first, and his hand saying, this one came out first. And then it happened that as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly, immediately, you know, here he comes. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. He was a breech child. Notice. Therefore, his name will be called Perez, which means breached. And afterward, his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread around his hand, and his name was called Sarah. Imagine. So here the story is told about this woman that is going to come through the line of Jesus Christ, which actually dressed up as a prostitute and became pregnant by her father-in-law, and she is in the line of Jesus' wife, because Jesus chooses imperfect people. Not perfect people. He identifies with sinners. Pretty neat, huh? Second woman, Rahab. Very short story about her. We find it in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy out secretly, saying, go and view the land, especially Jericho. And so they went and they came into the house of a whore by the name of Rahab and lodged there. So Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. But remember what Rahab did? Rahab is the one that hid the spies in her actual ceiling on top of the roof in the basement and protected them. And when they were coming into the land, she says, now look, you guys, when you guys leave here and you're going to come and wipe out, you know, Jericho, do me a favor. Make sure you spare me, my husband, and my children, my whole family. He says, make sure you don't kill us. And they agreed to that. And they said, well, how do we know when we come back that you're going to be in the city? And she said, I'll put a scarlet thread to the window and you'll know where I live. The scarlet speaks of what? Of redemption over that house. Imagine that. She was redeemed by the Lord. She was in the line of Jesus. And then the third woman, is her name is Ruth. And Ruth, man, is incredible. Ruth was not a prostitute, but Ruth was a Moabite, a pagan, and she became the grandmother of David. Imagine that, the king of Israel. Isn't that interesting? And then David gets married. And David is in the battle, fighting, and decides, you know what, man, I've been out here a long time. I'm going to take some R&R. I'm going to go home and kick back. And he goes home. And he goes home and he kicks back for a couple of days. And one day out of his palace, he comes out into the balcony. And he kind of looks at the sun and looks at the blue sky. And he looks out this way. And down below, he sees on top of the roof of the house, a beautiful woman bathing. And David kept staring, man. And then he went inside and he called for his servant and said, "Hey, who's that down there?" And they said, "Oh, that's Uriah's wife." Uriah was fighting for David in the battle. Imagine, he was one of his top guys. And David said, "Well, you know what? Uriah's over there. She's here. Why don't you go get her so I can lay with her?" And they went and got Bathsheba, and she came. And she laid with David. And then David sent her home. And then a couple of weeks later, David received a handwritten letter from Bathsheba. And she said, "David, I'm pregnant and I'm going to have a child." Oh, man. You got to be kidding me. I'm the king. How am I going to do this? And immediately what happened? Satan came immediately. How many times you and I, whenever we sin, we're looking for a master plan how to get out of our sin. And the enemy will come in and give you all kinds of ways to get out of it by conniving, by lying, by cheating, and not speaking the truth. He said, "What can I do?" And Satan came to him and said, "I know what you can do. Why don't you go ahead and call Uriah out of the battle and bring him home and give him a big old party and then let him go lay with his wife and you can say, 'Congratulations, Uriah, you are going to have a baby.'" Good idea. Calls him in. He comes in. Uriah gets home. Goes to see David. And David says, "Uriah, I am so glad you're here. Man, it's good to see you. I have a big old party for you before you go home." So he ate and they drank. And he literally got a little bit tipsy. And on his way home, he started to go home. And he saw his friends on the side, all of his troops. And he said, "Man, good leader, why should I go home and lay with my wife and my men sleep out here on the street and they don't get to go home to their wives? No way, I'm going to sleep with them." And he never went home. The next morning, David found out that he never went home. David started, "Oh no, what can I do? Oh, man, I got to get this guy to go home." So he said, "What can I say?" And came again and said, "What? Hey, throw him another party, man. But this time give him a little bit more to drink. And he will go home for sure." And so David threw another party. He got a little bit tipsy. And David said, "Now, Uriah, there is your house. Go for it. Go home." And on the way home, he passed out. Never made it home. The next day, David woke up and he heard that he was passed out and never made it home. David was now really worrying. Man, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, he's sitting there and Satan says, "David, listen, man, this is what you need to do. Why don't you write a letter to your cousin, Joab? He's in the battle. And say, 'Joab, do me a favor. Take Uriah and put him in the hottest of battle and then withdraw and have him killed.'" Isn't that heavy? Now it's murder. David, the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And David wrote the letter, sealed it, and he gave it to who? To Uriah. Uriah didn't even know he was carrying his death warrant. Imagine that. He went back to the battle, gave it to Joab. Joab opened it up, read it, sealed it, said, "Okay, you guys, we're going to hit that city. We're going to go to the front." And they went to the front and they withdrew and Uriah was dead. Joab wrote back, "Mission accomplished, sir." And then David said, "Oh man, great. Nobody knows now. Now I can say, Bathsheba, you can come to my house. You can be my wife. And then we can tell people we're going to have a baby, but we're husband and wife." He covered his tracks, man. He got it all made. I got it made. Now nobody will know. And as the months went by, he got married. And as the months went by, on the 9th month, the baby now was coming. And when the baby was born, the baby died. And David was sitting there mourning and praying, but he was not in fellowship with God yet. He was totally backslidden the whole time because God couldn't speak to him while he was in sin. He never confessed his sin. He never repented. A year and a half almost backslidden without God. And when that baby died, he got up after mourning. He ate, he drank, and he got together. And then business as usual. And then finally, when God saw the heart of David, that he wasn't going to repent, what did he do? He took the prophet, and the prophet came to him and said, David, I have to ask you something. There was a neighbor that was very rich, but very cheap, very tight. He was going to have a big old party. And his neighbor had a little ewe lamb that he loved like a pet. And this rich man got up one day, went over to the poor man's house, grabbed the lamb, took it, killed it, filleted it, barbecued it, and gave it to his guest. He says, David, what would you do to such a man? And David became infuriated. He says, that man deserves to die. And the prophet said, you are that man. You took somebody's wife and you laid with her and you committed adultery and you killed her husband by murdering her husband. And now you said, this is that man. You are that man. And David right there broke and he repented and he asked God for forgiveness. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Imagine that. David, a man after God's own heart. Notice where the line of Jesus Christ comes from. Not perfect people. Imperfect people just like you and me. Because we sin daily before the Lord. Imagine that. That's the heart of God as we look at Bathsheba.
We pray today's message has filled you with powerful reassurance that no matter how many mistakes you've made in your life, God's love and mercy are greater than your sin. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled God's Grace Offered. Now, to further strengthen your confidence in the Lord's ability to redeem and restore, we'd like to offer you Rawls' three-message CD series simply titled Grace. As you think about God's salvation, given freely with no strings attached, you'll find hope in the knowledge that you don't have to earn the Lord's love through good works. Jesus has kept God's law perfectly for those who trust in Him. When you come to God in true repentance, He'll forgive and remove all of your sin. Act now to order Rawls' three-message series celebrating God's grace, and we'll send you this audio collection for a gift of $17.95. Visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For additional encouragement from God's Word, we invite you to access all of our free Somebody Loves You resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that features Bible-based guidance for godly living. You can also download our free app to your iPhone or Android for convenient access to digital Bible studies, a personal scripture reading plan, and much more. Plus, all of these programs are available to download as podcasts through Spotify or iTunes. We're always looking for new ways to help you grow in the strength of Scripture. Your feedback is helpful to us, and be sure and let us know how we can pray for you when you contact us. Donate now, and your contributions will help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through your generous contributions, and every gift is tax deductible. Next time, we'll continue with more in this series on grace. We'll explore how God has called each of us to share the love and grace He's given to us, not keeping His blessings to ourselves, but pouring His abundance into others. Here's Raul now with the closing comment.
What does God desire? Brokenness, humility, repentance before God. That you're really sorry for what you've done and you're not going to go back to do it again. That's repentance. That's the grace of God. The grace of God to restore David. The grace of God to restore you, to restore me back in fellowship with Him. And the moment I repent, God will use me even as He was using me before. And He doesn't hold it against me anymore because of the grace and the love and the mercies of God. And because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in cleansing my sins in my life. That's what it's all about. The grace of God given to each one of us here tonight because Jesus loves us and He cares about us.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.